Well, Nova's here. My name is Greg Horn. I'm sure for all our parents out there, you're like, man, I sure could use some help in parenting, and I really want to do it in a God-honoring, biblical way. Well, you're at the right place today. We are talking with Joe McGee. He is with Joe McGee Ministries, based out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. He's been helping families and ministries for over 30 years, just trying to help them live the God-honoring way, both in marriage and in parenting. And he travels doing seminars all over the country. He's got one that's called Biblical Parenting 101 that you focus on helping parents of elementary age kids through teenagers. You talk about a lot of the complex issues of parenting and get them down into just common sense, I can do this principles. Share a little bit about what you teach in these this seminar, Joe.
Well, it started years ago because we had such a big family. My local church asked to teach a parenting seminar on Sunday evening, or just a parenting class. It's a 50-minute class. And you had to really want to be there because most people don't come back on Sunday evenings to church. And so we started teaching. And we noticed something. The subject determined the crowd. So, you know, if you taught on child abuse, we'd have a big crowd. Of course, people want to know how to beat their children legally and not get arrested, you know. And then if you taught on sex education, we'd have sit chairs. People want to make sure the kids don't get pregnant. And most of it was fear-oriented. How do I protect this and make this? I said, guys, this is not the thing of parenting. God told you, go back to the Garden of Eden, where God told Adam and Eve, be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth. You know, it's like God wanted that. God wanted the next generation to be birthed and raised up. Now, I tell people, having a boatload of kids will not make you holy. It'll make you insane and broke if you don't know what to do with them when they show up. So people say, well, how many children should you have? You talk to God about that. There are some people that have one, and they're very, very happy. I met a couple one time out of Colorado that had 12. They were happy. I'd have been nuts, but they were happy. And so the whole goal behind having children, the Bible says children are a gift from God. They don't belong to us. He said, those are your children? No, they belong to God. We birthed them. We had them. We've taught them how to, you know, talk and walk and go to the bathroom by themselves and dress themselves. Taught them how to pass algebra and got a date for the prom. And we taught them how to get into college and got them married and paid for the wedding and the honeymoon and bought their first two cars, fixed their crooked teeth. You know, we're good parents. But the goal of parenting is to give them back to God. They don't belong to me. Now, I love family relationships. I mean, we get together as often as we can. I love having kids. But the goal is to get them up out of the house. The goal is to raise them up and send them out somewhere. Guys, I don't want you to stick around my house all the time. You know, I love you. Come over, but call before you come and bring food and leave leftovers when you show up. And so it's sort of a different attitude. But God thought, hey, I'm going to have Adam and Eve were not born thumb suckers. They were born adults. You know, God, people say, what came first, the chicken or the egg? The chicken came first. God made everything adults. It was supposed to reproduce immaturity, train it to be mature, reproduce immaturity, train it to be mature. And so we began to teach parenting men, the scriptures were loaded. And all the way back to Genesis 18:19, God told Abraham, I know him that he will teach his children and his children's children. Deuteronomy talks about you're to teach your children when you get up in the morning, walk during the day, sit down and lie down. You know, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way it should go. Ephesians 6:1-4 said, children, obey your parents in the Lord. The Bible is packed, Genesis to Revelation, because God is concerned about the next generation. Every church is one generation away from being dead. Every family is one generation away. And so you hear all the strife, and it makes the news, fights, and man getting in arguments and slamming doors and peeling out the driveway. So what happened? Well, hell hates the home. I've told that my whole life. Hell hates the home. But we've been given a promise. We don't belong to hell anymore. We were taken out of the kingdom of God, placed in God's kingdom. It's their son. Now we live different. We get to repent quick and forgive quick every day. So the whole thing was we have eight between us. We got eight adult children, all born again, spirit-filled, all out of college, all self-employed, all in church, pay their tithes, go on mission trips, but they're not perfect. There are no perfect children. Kids do dumb stuff every day. Adults do dumb stuff. 1 John 1:9 says, if a Christian says they don't sin, they're a liar. Well, they think they're a perfect kid. They don't exist. They're no perfect kids. I had great kids with their college or scholarships. I had two of my own kids lose their college scholarships and took a year to get it back. You know, I took one of my kids took 6 years to get a 4-year degree. This is not a simple process, but it's an adventure. And so God said, hey, son, I love you so much. I want to give these kids. You train them up, and you get them filled with me, and get them in church. Then eventually, when they become an adult, I want you to give them back to me. I've got great plans for them. And so what we did, believe it or not, in Luke 2:52, people ask you, where'd you get this stuff? Well, everything came out of the Word of God. I went back to Jesus as a child. How did he grow? And so Luke 2:52 has four things he did. He was a 12-year-old boy. First of all, God had to figure out how to get to the earth, because when he gave this planet to Adam, Greg, when Adam sinned, he gave it away. Satan became the legal god of this planet the day Adam and Eve sinned. Adam and Eve got fired from their job, evicted from the house. Their kids started killing each other. That's the first family. The very first family on this planet got fired, evicted, the kids started killing each other. Hell hates the home. But God had the scripture apparently. Listen, guys, I want to show you how to do this. Train up a child in the way they should go. When they're old, they won't depart from it. Who shall know the deep doctrine of God? Those weep for the mothers, line upon line, precept upon precept. God said, it's the word. It's not their IQ. It's not their GPA. It's not where they were All-American or athletes. It's where you put the word of God in, because I'll watch over that word to perform it. So I've got six. There's no two the same. One of my daughters is a college professor. She made straight A's her whole life. That doesn't mean she kept her room clean or told the truth. She just had a gift of making A. It didn't make her holy. She had a gift. My second daughter, to get that same A, she'd have to study 3 and 4 hours a night. Man, she had to cram, because that was not her deal. But my second daughter was an all-state basketball player, went to college on a basketball scholarship. The Bible says your gift will make room for you, not your brother's gift, not your sister's gift, your gift. So we got six kids. They're all different. I thought, man, the hospital keeps making mistakes. There's no way this is my kid. Well, they are your child. God's a creative God. They all came out different. Some have strengths others don't have. Some have weaknesses others don't have. But whatever the gift is, that's what's going to make room for them. So we learned early, and so we found the scripture. When Jesus came to earth as a human, you know, mom and dad lost him for about 3 days. They were going down to the Jerusalem Passover festival, and they're coming back. The 8-day festival is a 4-day march just to get there. And they lost Jesus for almost 4 days. He's a 12-year-old kid. They lost him when they got back, and they made camp. Mary says, Joseph, hey, get Jesus in. It's time to eat dinner. He couldn't find him. And so he disappeared. He came back and says, he's not here. And they said, what? Now, there's no ray of that flashlight. There's no Coleman ladder. There's no electricity. They're 4 hours from Jerusalem, heading back to Bethlehem. They've stopped to make camp. You got to do it before it gets dark. And they've lost the Son of God. Now, it doesn't say so in the Bible. They yelled a lot that night. Man, what kind of father are you? What kind of mother are you? So they hand off the other two kids, and they hook it back to Jerusalem. The Bible says in the New Testament that for 3 days they're looking for the Son of God. There was no pictures. It's like, hey, have you seen this kid? There's no photographs. It's a huge city. We've lost the Son of God. We're probably going to burn in hell forever. We've lost the Son of God. And so the third day later, they figured, well, we looked everywhere. Where we not look? And Joseph, well, he's not a normal kid. Maybe he's in the temple. And they walked into the temple, and there's just Jesus as a 12-year-old kid, astounding the scribes and Pharisees with his wisdom. What's he doing? He's trying to find out who he is. Jesus is trying to find out who he is. He said, well, didn't he know? No, God didn't cheat. A human lost this planet. A human's got to get it back. That's the whole thing of the virgin birth. I mean, parenting is a huge deal. God knows about parenting. He said, what are you going to do? Well, Adam's lost this planet. He told the devil in the Garden of Eden, one day I'm going to come in the flesh, and I'm going to take this planet back from you. And he had a plan to bring his son to earth. Now, the Bible says the devil never did understand it, because it's revelation, it's not information. So you got Jesus being born, virgin birth, he's born. And so the thing, you know, the wise men show up, and the star shows up, and Herod tries to kill him. They go hide in Egypt. They come back. Jesus is a 12-year-old kid, Greg, but he's a normal kid. He can't walk on the water. He can't even raise a dead goldfish. Probably didn't even make his bed. He's a normal-looking kid. And so, but mom and dad have told him the stories about the angels and the wise men and what God told him. And he's thinking about it. Well, if he's down in the temple, he's asking questions. He's trying to find out who he is. And it wasn't until he was 30 years old when he meets that camel hair bug-eating Baptist down there at the river. And John the Baptist dunks him under the water. Jesus comes up out of that water. Heaven splits wide open, and God sticks his hand out of heaven and said, this is my beloved son. It took Jesus 30 years to find out who he was. People said, well, that can't be true. He was God. Yes, he was, but he didn't cheat. He was all God and all man. But he came here as a man. He didn't do any miracles as God. If he did, he cheated, because a man lost this planet. A man had to get it back. Jesus is sweating drops of blood because of Gethsemane. He's just realized he's got to go to the cross. Now, I'm talking about parenting right now. he's realized, man, this is hard. Yeah, people have different things and walks they've got to go through. And so he's sweating blood. Father, can you let this cup pass from me? Well, who's just saying this? Jesus, the Son of God. Well, doesn't he know he's God? No, he doesn't know. He's human. He's trying to find out who he is and what he's doing. And he's just realized, I've got to go to the cross. I've got to die for mankind. But God's going to raise me from the dead. And he told the apostles right before it happened, 3 days, I'll come back. 3 days, I'm coming back. Because he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father and I are one. And so in the parenting thing, you went and go through. So Jesus grew in four different areas. Luke 2:52, Greg. Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, favor of God, and favor of man. Now, I've taught parenting for years, hundreds of classes. They all fall into one of those four areas. It's real simple. Jesus grew in wisdom. Proverbs says there's only four kinds of kids: wise, simple, foolish, and scornful. Wise people live long, are wealthy, can scale the wall of a city and take it captive, have favor of the king. Great things happen to wise children and wise adults. If you're not wise, you're one of the other three. You're simple-minded. You're not evil. You're not full of the devil. You just have no wisdom. You keep doing the same dumb thing over and over again. If you stay there too long, you become a fool. The Bible says it's sport for a fool to make mischief. That's the kid that likes to steal stop signs, fill their tire with a red light, wear the hat backwards, and he just play the music real loud. Who are they? They don't know. That's why they're trying to attract attention. They don't know who they are, so they're a show-off. If you stay there, you go to stage four, you become a scorner. The Bible says scorners hate those that love them. They hate everybody, and they get everybody in trouble around them, but they never get caught themselves. The Bible says in Proverbs, cast out a scorner, strife and contention will cease. So I realized something. The very first thing did, Jesus grew in wisdom. Well, Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom's the principal thing, therefore get yourself some. James says, if you lack wisdom, ask God, and he'll give it by the bucket load. So I've told my kids, you're going to be wise people. I pray the fear of God's the beginning of wisdom. I pray the fear of God over every morning. My kids are adults. I've got grandkids. I still pray, Father, today I give you permission to teach my children to fear you. For the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. With that wisdom, Proverbs 3:16, comes long life, riches, and honor. I told my kids, you're going to live long. You're going to outlive me if Jesus tarries. You're going to have your own money. You're not going to spend money your whole life. You're going to learn how to make your own money. You're going to have favor. I mean, you have to tell them. They're not going to get any away. Parents have to tell them who they are. So Jesus grew in wisdom. Number two, he grew in stature. That means he matured. I don't want my kid to stay a teenager the whole lot. The goal is for you to become an adult. The goal is for you to become an adult. So how do you do that? Well, Ephesians says you have rules, regulations, rewards, and punishments. I wanted my home to be the most fun place my kids went. But they do have rules. There's certain things we do and do not do at my house. We're going to have a fun time. I want you to think, man, that you're living in Disney World. But there are things you have to do. You got to do your homework. There's chores you have to do every now and then. You got to rake the yard. You got to make your bed. You got to keep your teeth brushed. You got to bathe twice a day. There are rules for being an adult. Then it says, number three, Jesus grew in favor with God. Well, what's that? When you get to heaven, you want to hear one thing. I want to hear God say to me and my children, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It's not what I did. It's did I do what God called and gifted me to do? So I've got to make sure my kids know who they are in him, in whom in Christ. And they're going to do what they're gifted to do. Quit trying to be good at something you're not good at. You don't have that gift. Be good at what God gifted you to do. And then number four is the most powerful one of all. This is where the devil comes to all kids. Jesus grew in favor with man. Greg, there are more scriptures in your Bible on friendship than there are on the subject of heaven and hell. Because friends will take your kids to hell. Because the devil, he doesn't have horns, he doesn't have a pitchfork, he doesn't puke green stuff, he doesn't have a tail. Lucifer is the single most beautiful thing God ever made, and still is. He's a deceiver. So I tell parents, if a kid's going to try to take your kid out, they're going to show up looking good, smelling good, and talking good. You've got to teach your children the word of God to know, is this God right here, or is this just something dressed up to look fancy?
Joe, hate to cut you off, brother, but we are out of time. But we are listening to Joe McGree Ministries. Joe, as a based out of Tulsa, Oklahoma, I want to encourage you to maybe check out this biblical parenting seminar he has. Go to his website, joemcgeeministries.com. That's joemcgeeministries.com. I'm Greg Horn, and this is Hope is Here.